Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
And I am grateful for all God is doing, and I am grateful for all God has promised that has not yet manifested and been done. Turn to your neighbor and tell him I'm part of the 10% club. Let's read Luke 17, verse 11. And Jesus continued on towards Jerusalem, and he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. He did not say, "You are healed." He just said, "Hey, go show yourselves to the priest," meaning this: even when God is not saying what you want him to say, does not mean he's not doing what you want him to do. Praise God. Oh, you're alive this morning. Praise God. He looked at them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." As they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Somebody say obedience. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came all the way back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God." He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan, and Jesus asked, "Were there not 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." Turn to your neighbor one more time and tell him, "I'm in the 10% club." Now lift your hands to heaven and at least one time say, "Thank you, Jesus." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Our story, and when I say story, it is not a fable, it is real life. 10 lepers really existed. Jesus really existed. This is not an allegory. This is not something figurative. This is a literal account of 10 men that were messed up coming to Jesus. How many of you remember what it was like to be messed up and coming to Jesus? Aren't you glad that he did not turn us away? Aren't you glad that he didn't say, "There's too many"? Aren't you glad that God worked that miracle in your life? And aren't you glad that God is not done with you yet and he's still transforming our lives? But this is so much more than healing of physical leprosy. It is a miracle, more than a miracle of health, but this is a miracle of thanksgiving and gratitude. We're going to dive deep today in this thanksgiving and gratitude, but can I tell you that any time that you thank God, it is a miracle. Any time that you say hallelujah, it is a miracle. Not just compared to who you used to be and what you used to do, but the fact that you've never seen God, yet you thank him. The fact that you've never seen his physical body like they did in the New Testament, yet you praise and worship and serve him, that is a miracle, church. But we see in this story the two different types of lepers. We see the good lepers and we see the bad lepers. We see the lepers that are so into themselves and so into what God did that they forget about God. Can I encourage you, church, never get so infatuated with the hand of God and what God is doing that we forget about the identity and the presence of who God is. If I could say it like the elders used to say, if he doesn't do anything else in my life, he has already done enough. God is enough. If you're looking for a reason to complain, you'll find one. If you're looking for a reason to praise, you'll find one. You will never live not one second on God's green earth and have nothing to be grateful for. Yet we see a culture and a generation that gratitude has grown cold. Have you ever done something for someone and they did not thank you? Raise your hand. Did that make you want to do more for them or less for them? Less. And if you said more, you are a bigger person than I am. I don't do it for the thank you, but it is so nice to get the thank you. The recognition that you didn't have to do this, but you did. Can I encourage you that God is not losing sleep over my lack of thanksgiving or gratitude? However, I need to remind him that I'm thankful. You didn't have to do it, but I recognize the air I breathe, the ground I stand on, the mobility of my limbs, my relationship, my money, my food, my house. Everything I have is because of Jesus. Luke 17, verse 12, Jesus enters in The 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance. They were not strangers to who Jesus was because they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy. Jesus, they recognized him as the Son of God. Master, they knew his office and what authority he carried. And then they knew his gift, mercy. These were not strangers, yet only one out of 10, just 10%, the 10% club are the only ones who came back to thank God. The Bible says in verse 14 that Jesus looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Obedience always produces the miracle. As they went, as you not say yes, as you put feet to your faith, as you move out in faith, that's when your miracle comes. Well, I'm going to wait on the miracle and then I'm going to do this. Sometimes the miracle is waiting on you to do that. And so move out in faith first, and the miracle is on its way. Verse 15, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. Somebody say 10% club. This miraculous event is one of the greatest miracles in all of the Bible. You could point to other miracles that he did, but most of the miracles Jesus did were one-on-one. A sick person, a demon-possessed person, a hurting person, a person with a past, and he would deal with that person one-on-one. Great miracles. I do not take anything away from those miracles. However, Jesus gave them a 10-for-1 special. He said, I don't have to deal with each one of you. I can deal with all of you at one time. That's why I love coming to church. Because even though we all have different needs, Jesus said, I don't have to deal with you one-on-one. I can just deal with you all at the same time, one-on-one. I don't have to have 2 minutes with each of you. But in the middle of church at 11:47 in the morning, God can breathe in this place and heal one, deliver one, restore one, save one, all 10 of them simultaneous. They had been given a death sentence, but now all of them are being healed. However, our biggest takeaway is the one man, the 10% of their group who knew the art of gratitude. This is the one miracle that could have ended on a downer or a sour note. This is the one that there's no thanksgiving, no praise, no thank you. This is the one miracle that could have taken a left turn. But praise and thanksgiving showed up at the end. Praise and thanksgiving saved this miracle. Gratitude turned into the main event. Because now when you hear great preachers preach on Luke 17, they do not preach about the miracle of healing near as much as the one who returned to thank God. Can I tell you that heaven rejoices in your miracle, but heaven throws a praise party when you and I begin to walk and live with a thankful heart for all that God has done. Well, Pastor, I don't have this, and this happened in 2023, and you don't know my living situation. I am not naive that we have trouble, but instead of complaining about our trouble, let's praise God and thank Him that we are not who we used to be, that He's not done with us yet, and there's still some things in your house, in your life that you can thank God for. Thanksgiving and being thankful becomes the biggest miracle of this story. Moving to verse 16, this man fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. The writer here makes sure that we know that there's two distinct things that he does. The number one thing he does is he lays down, falls to the ground at Jesus' feet. Second thing he does, he thanks him for what he has done. Can I encourage somebody in here today that there is a difference between falling down at God's feet and thanking God with your mouth? I know a lot of you were towards the back or towards the middle today, but we had quite a few people in the middle of worship bow down and hit their knees and start having a moment with God. You don't know the leprosy that God delivered them from. You don't know the leprosy that they're currently dealing with now. I don't need to know what they're going through because I know the God that they are worshiping sees them and hears them, and He's the one that's going to provide a miracle. There is something different between getting down on your knees and worshiping and just saying, hey, thank you, Jesus. I do not diminish the thank you, Jesus, but I know straight heathens that all it takes is winning the miracle and they'll thank Jesus for the very first time in their life when Jesus had little to nothing to do with them winning the lottery. They'll thank Jesus for the great health report, but they're not in here on Sundays on their knees. They're not on a Tuesday afternoon in their bedroom or in their living room when the kids are at school and the spouse is at work and you turn your entire house into an altar and you are on your knees having a moment with God. Can I encourage you that gratitude is not just a thank you with your lips. Gratitude is a thank you with your life and with your full body, worshiping God. When was the last time you worshiped God, not praised Him? When was the last time you hit your knees when you didn't need anything and just said, thank you, God, for all you have done in my life? Say, that's a little too much. You cannot say it's a little too much when you've got grown men going shirtless to football games, screaming and hollering. When you've got grown women painting their faces and going and getting those long nails and their team colors and going and shouting and tailgating and all of those things and screaming as young men and young women perform on the sports field. You cannot say it is too much for us to worship like we worship and praise like we pray. You weren't there when Jesus found me. You weren't there when He stretched out on the cross. I'm not hating on what you do, but you've got to give me room to worship. That's what makes me the 10%. He fell to the ground at the feet of Jesus. That's worship. He thanked Jesus. That's praise. Here's the ingredients that make gratitude. Worship and praise together make gratitude. Gratitude is more than a popular Christian song by the great Brandon Lake. Gratitude is more than just lyrics that we sing and then they fade when the next great song comes out. Gratitude is when we live a life of worship and praise mixed together. God, thank you for what you've done, but God, I worship you for who you are. Why aren't most people filled with thanksgiving and gratitude? Because they are missing the main ingredient of worship. One cannot worship unless he is in relationship. Let me say that again. One cannot worship unless he is in relationship. I thank people all the time that I am not in relationship with. I thank people all the time for things they do. I thank the DoorDash driver that we live in a generation and a culture now where you can get on your phone and 20 minutes later, food shows up at your door. I thank him. He's a complete stranger. She's a complete stranger. I don't worship anybody. I don't have a connection with everybody like I do with God. And so my thankfulness is reserved for everybody, but my worship is reserved for God. One cannot worship unless he is in relationship with Christ. You cannot worship who you do not know. So my question is, do you know Jesus? Not do you know about him? Not can you quote three scriptures about him? Not can you tell me the Christmas story? But do you have a relationship with Jesus? And when I'm talking about relationship, I'm talking about from the most microscopic detail. Do you talk to him every day? But when I talk about relationship, I'm talking about a husband and a wife relationship that you have literally consummated that relationship and that relationship has produced new life. If new life is not coming through you, then I doubt you really worship God. Because if you worship God, something will be birthed through that. The great C.S. Lewis said that the ancient man approached God out of a strong feeling, like he was approaching a judge. But modern man has reversed the roles. Modern man likes to act as if they are the judge and that God is on trial. God is not on trial. He's a good God who only does good. He is a good God all the time, and all the time he is a good God. He has never been on trial in my book. He has never been on trial in my mind. Everything he has done for me is good, so I thank you, Jesus. Maybe this is why most feel that we have no obligation to thank him, because we have made ourselves God. I suspect this is what lies behind the reason that we are developing a culture without a sense of thanksgiving, of thankfulness. Calvin Miller, who I don't know and you don't know, is famously said, our thanklessness smacks of lazy atheism. Man, this hurt me, church, when I read this, because it applies to me and you. If an atheist doesn't worship, I give him a pass. Why worship something you don't believe in? If an atheist doesn't thank God, I give him a pass. Why would he thank something that he says does not exist? But Calvinism says when there is a place that is void of thanksgiving, it smacks of lazy atheism, meaning this. If God has done something in your life and you don't thank him and you act as if he doesn't exist, that's worse than atheism, because you know God. You know the goodness of God. You know how you used to be. You know what he's done in your life. And so for you and me to say, look at what I've done. I've done all of this. If it wasn't for me, none of this would happen. That's worse than atheism, because we know that God has done so much more. If I had 10,000 tongues, I could not thank him enough. It's worse than atheism for God to do something and act as if it was us. Lazy atheism is what Calvin called it. There's an old definition that says an atheist is someone who sometimes feels gratitude but has absolutely no one to thank for it. I've got news for someone today in the room or watching. You did not do it by yourself. You are not self-made. You did not pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You say, well, I did pull up myself by my... Nope, God gave you the fingers. God gave you the strength. God created the cow that made the leather, that made the boots that are connected to those straps. Every good and perfect gift, James says, comes from the Father above, who there is no changing. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I couldn't breathe if it wasn't for my God. I couldn't walk if it wasn't for my God. I wouldn't have made it through the night if it wasn't for my... I thank him. I'm not going to be worse than an atheist. I thank my God. Jesus asked in verse 17, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? I'm glad that I'm in a church that understands what we're preaching about today. The greatest testimony ever. Look at what Jesus has done in your life, and you're still here. That's the testimony. Look at where I've come from. Look at all I've made it through. Look at what God has done in my life each and every day, and I'm still here thanking him for it. You realize there are some people that did not come back to Living Way, not because they were offended, not because they didn't get what they felt they were entitled to. Some of them have just grown cold in what God has done in their life. They came when their marriage was messed up. God put it back together again, and away they went. They came in broke. God blessed them, and away they went. They came when they were having little problems with Johnny and Susie. God restored. God brought the prodigals back, and away they went. I am here to tell you, look and remember everything that God has done in your life, and you are still here every Sunday, sometimes Wednesday, and we are praising God for what he's done in our life. That's the greatest testimony. However, the greatest travesty, look at what God has done in your life, but where are you? Still in bed. Waiting for the college football series to be decided at noon today. Hungover. You got mad because of what somebody said to you or did you at church. I love saying this. Living Way is not a storefront church. We're a big church. If somebody made you mad over here, sit over here. Well, I don't like the way I was treated. I don't like the way I was treated at P.F. Chang's last week. But guess where I'll go back to eventually? P.F. Chang's. Where are you? Make sure. And I love making this point because I've never heard anyone else preach about this, but I preach about it every time I preach from this text. The Bible says, Jesus says, where are the other 9? Do you think that Jesus doesn't know where they are? He just sent them away. He did not say that because he didn't know. He wanted the 10%. He wanted the one to realize you could be where they are, but look where you are now. You could have forgotten, but look what you remembered. You could be doing your own thing, but look at what you're doing right now. Never forget, when God asks you a question, it is not because he doesn't know the answer. He is trying to teach you something. And I want to encourage you with this great testament to you in the room today. Look at where you could be, but look where you are this morning. People tried to make you mad. People walked out on you. It's been a tough year or decade, but you are still in the presence of the Lord, and you are still giving God a chance to do what he's called and created to do in you. But maybe there's somebody watching online today on the other side of that lens, on the other side of that red light. Maybe you're mad at somebody here. Maybe you're mad at me, and you think by sitting there, something is going to happen. I am here to encourage you. Come back to Jesus. And if you don't come back to Living Way, go find Jesus at another church. But don't let what somebody did or did not do keep you from the presence of God. Remember how far God has brought you. Remember all the impossibilities that he did. Look where you are in relation to where God is. There are two sides in this issue of all the abundance that God has given to men. Two categories, the thankful and the thankless. The thankless tends to act as if though they created their circumstances and that they are entirely self-made. But the thankful see the providence of God in all they hold. Do you ever just wake up and thank God for your life? Listen, when I say thank God for your life, I'm talking about going to the most macro view of your life. God, I'm so grateful that you woke me up this morning, gave me another day with fresh mercy. God, I am so grateful that I am in America today. See, I don't worship the nation, but I worship the God that put me in the greatest nation on the face of the planet. And if you're saying, yeah, but we've got a lot of problems and this isn't the greatest nation. If this isn't the greatest nation, I've got one question for you. Why are you here? You know the reason why we have a border problem? Because it's the greatest nation. There are third world countries that do not have border crisis. No one's trying to get in. I wake up sometimes just, God, thank you that I'm an American. I'm born and raised in the USA. I live in the greatest state in all of the republic, the nation. I mean, the state of Texas. I have a church family that loves me and that I love. I've got friends that are better to me than I've been to them. I've got a wife that is a woman of God, a Proverbs 31 woman. I've got two kids that serve you and love you. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm not saying that we've got everything together. But God, when I look at how it used to be or I look at how it could be, God, I am just grateful for the providential hand of God in my life. I'm grateful that I have another chance to bring you glory. I'm grateful that even though I've fallen many times, you help me back up. And sometimes you don't even help me back up. You just jerk me back up all on your own power. The thankful believe that it is not how much we have or have not in life, but it's the source that we are connected to is why we thank God. Verse 18, has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? The NLT changes it up a little bit and calls this man a foreigner, a Samaritan. If you know anything of the background of Jesus, Jesus is a Jew, and the Jews and Samaritans do not have anything to do with each other. But here you see Jesus over and over again. He crosses racial lines to make sure that they are healed, they are whole, and that they come to Jesus. Jesus said to this man, stand up and go. The one leper, this picture of gratitude is really a picture of grace. He says, this man's a Samaritan and I don't have to do this, but my grace extends to everyone. I love that. See, if you rightly divide the word of truth, unless you are from Jerusalem and you are a Jew, We should all be applauding this one statement by Christ because none of us deserved. We are all Gentiles that needed to be grafted in. And he looks at this Samaritan man and he says, my grace I'm going to apply to you. It's not just reserved for my people. My grace will make you my people. Those of us who have been redeemed by a living God cannot help but say, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, for our daily bread. I've made that a part of my daily prayer since I studied and put this series together a few weeks ago. God, I thank you for eternal life, and I thank you for my daily bread. I thank you for the most important thing you died to give me, but I also appreciate you giving me enough money to get a Big Mac today at lunch. God, I thank you. You are a good God that has only done good to me. I thank you. Jesus said to the man, I got a couple minutes left. Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Luke 17, verse 19, same verse in the King James Version. And Jesus said unto him, arise and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Jesus makes you healed. Your faith and gratitude in Jesus makes you whole. And there is a difference. Jesus healed all 10. Jesus only made whole one of them. Jesus took leprosy away from the other 9. But the one who came back threw himself at his feet, worshiped, and then praised him, saying, thank you, Jesus. He said, this one I will make whole. Jesus makes you healed. Your faith and gratitude in Jesus makes you whole. What is healed? Healed is sickness, disease, illness, and infection, whether it's physical, spiritual, mental, the sickness, disease, illness, and infection, all of that is defeated. That is what healing is. But wholeness is every part of your life restored and back in line with God's word and God's will. We used to sing a song at Living Way called, I Want It All Back. If you could stand to your feet today, I want to encourage you, God wants to heal you.